You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I am your host, Chris Manning, from FieldTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is a conversation with myself and Sean Woodley, the host of the excellent Locked On Raptors podcast, about the State of the Eastern Conference. If you're a longtime listener of the podcast or listen to Locked On Raptors, you'll know that Sean and I do this from time to time. But obviously, because the Raptors are good and the Cavs are now not good, this is going to be a little bit different. The Cavs, of course, since the last time we talked, lost to the Heat over the weekend. But this conversation will just give you a broad picture of the East, who's good, who's bad, who we'd like to see in the playoffs. Some Marquise Chris talk, because he just keeps coming up every podcast I do, besides me trying to give him up. But here's the show between me and Sean, and then we'll be back tomorrow morning. I will, with a recap of the Cavs' home game Monday night against the Toronto Raptors, of course. Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance, John Henson, and Dele all ruled out as of the 5:30 p.m. Sunday injury report, so it could be a thinner Cavs team against a very good Raptors team Monday night at the Q, and then Cavs Sixers, of course, is on Tuesday night. But without further ado, here is my conversation with Sean, and we'll be back tomorrow with another show. So thanks for listening, and talk to you then. Cheers.
Hey, how's it going? It's Sean Woodley from Locked On Raptors here with Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs for one of our go-to crutches when there's not that much to talk about with our teams. It's a little Eastern Conference check-in. Chris, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks, as always, having me back on.
Yeah, man. It's I enjoy having you on for these little jaunts around the East, even though it's different now with the Cavs not being particularly relevant in the Eastern Conference. Actually, I think right now the Cavs and Raptors, oh, they almost have inverse records. The Raptors are 46-19. The Cavs are 16-49. So we probably won't talk that much about the Cavs today, because I think what we're going to try to do is sort of talk about like the fringy playoff teams in the East, because everyone's talked about the top four in the East pretty much ad nauseum at this point, and we can touch a little bit on those teams if you want, but I'm kind of interested in like the weird, sad, but also kind of like inspiring playoff run going on right now at the bottom of the East, if you're down to get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. One question I have, though, about the top four: do you think it's a top four, or because the Pacers are like still there, is it a top five?
It is like, I guess
four
it's
and a half?
It's technically a top five. It's a top four of teams I think can like make it out of the East, if that's fair. Like,
I think that's right.
Yeah, like I love the Pacers, and I'm really, really rooting for them extremely hard to finish with that three seed, because boy, a first round series between the Sixers and Celtics would be a lot of fun, and would create lots of turmoil in whichever city in which the team lost. But I don't really think the Pacers are going to make the finals, especially considering I think their standing's going to get kind of screwed up here, because their schedule coming up is like unfairly bad. Like, it's so, here's their upcoming schedule over the next little while, the Pacers. And like, again, I really want them to hold on to the three seed. I'm rooting for them. And technically, for the purposes of this conversation, they're part of the top five. But really, like, I don't know where they're going to fit in after this run. So they play the Bucks today. Then they have the Sixers. Then the Knicks, which is great. And then you have the Thunder, Nuggets, Blazers, Clippers, Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Celtics, and then the Magic and Pistons. And Pistons again, who are like desperate and fighting for playoff spots. And then the Celtics, and then the Nets and the Hawks. So really only one team, I guess two teams, the Hawks and Knicks, that like aren't playoff-ish teams. And at the end of the season there, at the start of April and late March, when they play the Magic, Pistons, and Nets four times over the course of like a week, like 8 days, like all those teams are going to be extremely desperate to get in, so you're going to get their best shot too. This is like a murder part of the schedule for the Pacers, and it's I feel really bad for them. I don't know, do you have any faith that they'll be able to pull through it with like a reasonable record?
I mean, they're well coached, and like they've played well to this point, so I guess like you would hope that like that just sort of sustains itself. But like, again, they don't have they're playing like a lot of really good teams that have probably more incentive to like play super hard every night. You would think, you know, missing all the depot, if one of those games gets really slowed down and stagnates, like will become more apparent when that just having that kind of guy matters a little bit more. But like, I mean, even like Atlanta, like they're not good, but like they're dangerous. You know, like Trae Young could just go off, or like Kevin Herter could go off, or like John Collins could do some stuff. And like, it's like the only like truly objectively like awful team on that list is the Knicks, and everyone else, like you said, is like, I mean, maybe like the Nuggets are more beatable if they keep playing Isaiah Thomas, but like every other team on that list is solid and is going to be fighting for something pretty major.
I don't want them to finish the season 1-16. That would be sad. But even if they do that, they'll still finish above 500, which is very nice for a team that's had Victor Oladipo out, and they'll still pretty much be guaranteed. I guess they won't be a 5 seed if they lose all of their games. They won't lose all their games. They're too well coached for that, and they're too annoying to play against on a regular season night. That I'm sure they'll pick up a few wins along the way here. But yeah, to answer your earlier question, I don't think they are really to be considered a team that can make it to the finals, especially because this schedule is probably going to put them in that 4-5, and then you'd have to go through Boston, then one of Toronto or Philly. And then, or I guess, I know, Boston, then Milwaukee, and then wanted Toronto or Philly to make it to the finals. Like, that feels like a tall order for a team without its best player, as fun and as well-coached as they are. I just don't think that's going to happen. The teams below them are the ones that are really interesting to me right now. Like, the beautiful disaster that is the race for the Southeast Division Championship is just, like, one of the most fun things ever. I'm very strangely invested in it right now. The Heat have won 3 straight. The Raps play the Heat coming up this weekend, so they can have a say in what goes on there. I actually think there's a stretch of the schedule where the Raps play the Magic, Heat, Nets, and like Hornets all in a week. So that could kind of dictate what happens there in the race for those final playoff spots. But right now, as it stands, the Pistons are 6 with a 32-31 record. They're 8-2 in their last 10. I think the Pistons are going to be in. The Nets, 34-33, also up. They're 2.5 games up on 8th. 3.5 games up on the Magic, who are in 9th right now with 34-33. The Heat right now have won 3 straight. They're 30-34. They're probably the team to me that I like least want to get that spot. Or do you have like a team you're rooting for to make a run at that 8 seed right now?
The team I would say I have the most, like, I would say I'm most interested in, like, seeing them do something just because I think it would lead to interesting conversations is probably just, I would like to see the Pistons sort of, like, secure a spot because I think there's a thing we do sometimes, like, as a collective, like, NBA Twitter, and I'm not saying, like, everyone does this or that everyone is, like, guilty of this. I'm basically saying, like, Chris, stop doing this, but, like, Blake Griffin has been, like, awesome this year. He's, like, reinvented himself. I think Paul Flannery at SB Nation, like, a really good, I think it was him that wrote a really good piece about this, but, like, Blake's really good. And, like, yes, like, is he probably paid too much? Yes. Is, like, he a top 10 player? Probably. Like, no, like, he's not. And, like, there's a limit on how good, like, a team's going to be if he's your best guy. But I think, like, we do this thing sometimes where if, like, a guy is not elite of the elite, we are, like, in our heads, we write them off as like, bad, and that's sort of dumb. Like, there are only, like, a few guys who are, like, truly, truly close to flawless. Toronto, like, has one when Kawhi plays, like, LeBron when he's, like, not in L.A., apparently. Like, is that guy KD, Steph, et cetera. Giannis, obviously. Blake's, like, really good, and I would just like to see him, like, maybe, like, do something nuts in a series. Like, a Pistons-Pacers series is 100%, like, going to be on NBA TV, like, I mean, I don't even know how possible it is, but, like, I'd say that happened. That's, like, NBA TV or, like, Facebook Live, like, that would be where that is. Like, no one will watch it.
On but, Twitch like, after, or sorry, before, like, a G League playoff game? It's like
yeah,
the undercard.
Yeah, it'll be like on ESPN Plus in between like Greek League soccer and like just like a random like college tournament game. But like, I would be here to see Blake Griffin just try to like destroy a series by himself. And like, I would like Dwayne. I just like feel bad for Dwayne Casey still. Like, I like Dwayne. And like, if Reggie Jackson did something insane in the playoffs, I'd be down for that too. So like, I would just like to see Detroit like do something positive, just because I would like to see Blake just kind of do something positive.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Raptors lost to the Pistons on Sunday in overtime, and we talked about this on Monday's podcast. We don't have to rehash it too much, but I am like here for salty Dwayne Casey, even though like he's kind of dunked on himself a couple times, like where he said something about being with the Pistons and like having that championship pedigree within the franchise as opposed to the Raptors where they never really tasted it. And it's like, dude, you coached for like a third of the history of the franchise. Like, you have a say in this, dude. Like, even if he's sort of dunking on himself a little bit, I appreciate it. Like, the jabs he had for Nick Nurse and stuff. Like, I'm rooting for a Raptors-Pistons first-round series because I think, A, the Raptors would win it pretty handily. I don't think I'd be, like, that worried about it. Yes, Blake is very good, but I would not be, like, up in arms, like, freaking out if the Raptors got pitted with the Pistons in the first round. I just think it'd be, like, great for stories and great for, like, sports hate. And I feel like with the Raps fans, like, going down to Detroit as well and kind of overtaking that arena, like, there's some good animosity there as long as people aren't being too big of dicks about it. But, I'm rooting for the Pistons as well. I think they're going to be in. Like, they're 3.5 games up. They've won 3 in a row. And like you said, they have Blake, who's better than any player on any of the 5 or 6 teams that are still in the race here. So I feel pretty confident in saying that the Pistons are going to be there. Where are you at on the Nets? Like, I'm so just, like, uninterested in the Nets. I know everyone loves them. I know Sean Marks can do no wrong. I know Trevion Graham was the greatest free agent signing in the history of the world. But, like, I don't know. I feel like they're going to get shit kicked by whoever they play in the playoffs.
I think that's very likely. But here, I like the Nets only because I don't like them in terms of necessarily always watching them play. But I like watching them in terms of, like, an example of team building, if that makes sense. Like, I think, like, that's the most interesting prism to sort of look at them through because they're a team that obviously made, like, objectively, that, like, in retrospect was just an awful trade. They mortgaged their whole future. And if you look at, like, the guys that are really key on that team, Spencer Dinwiddie was a reclamation piece. Like, mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell was, like, you know, a guy that they got from the Lakers, and because the Lakers were trying to clear cap space, and, like, they kind of have salvaged him into being a good player. Joe Harris was, like, literally on his way out of the league, and they've turned him into, like, a really, really useful modern piece. Like, and their roster is full of guys like that. Caris LeVert was, like, a really good college player who, like, just draft stock slid because of injuries, and, like, yes, and he's, like, was their best player before he kind of got hurt this year. So, like, that's why they're interested. Like, but yeah, like, they're probably going to get wrecked by whoever they play. Maybe, like, there's a team, like if theoretically, if they played, like, the Celtics or something like that, which I don't think is really possible, but if they did, like, it would be funny if, like, there was a game where they just played really together, and then Kyrie just, like, goes in, like, a tirade after the game about it. Like, that would be funny.
That does seem like the team that's most likely to break the Celtics were they to play.
Yes.
It's not going to happen, but yes, that would be just delicious. Do you buy the Celtics that they're back?
The constant
back and forth of, like, the Celtics are done. Oh, wait, no, they're actually going to the finals. No, they're disgusting. They're going to lose in the first round. Like, where are you at with, like, the whole, like, where are you at on the spectrum of Celtics belief? Between, like, me on the far left, or actually, no, on the far left is Bill Simmons, who hates this team and wants Kyrie Irving to get injured to help the team, which is insanely messed up. Or on the far right of the Celtics belief spectrum, I would put Brian Windhorst,
who
love Windy, but boy, he sure really believes in the Celtics every time they talk about that on the Celtics and Lakers podcast he hosts.
My take on the Celtics is basically, like, I think they are, like, fine, probably overhyped. The Hayward stuff is just, like, really complicated and, like, kind of sad. Because I just, like, although he follows certain people on Instagram that I have questions about, but
and apparently is tearing apart his marriage because of his video game playing.
Yeah, Gordon, come on, my guy, what are you doing here? And is bad at gender reveals too, like, really bad at gender reveals. Just hide it, like, don't do it on Instagram if you're gonna do that. But, like, I think though, like, they're good, obviously, but there's something just, like, that feels off about them, and it's like, the reason the Cavs, for example, could work amid all that chaos is because LeBron is this ultimate calming force. And, like, Kyrie's really good. Kyrie is, like, not the guy that's going to just, like, kind of seems like he's going to just, like, kind of solve all that. But that being said, if, like, they play the Celtics in the first round, there's, like, something – or they play the – if the Celtics play the Sixers in the first round, there's something, like, about that matchup that seems to just always sort of work for them, even if Philly, like – Embiid's probably the best player in the series or whatever. Like, something about that matchup just seems to have really worked well for Boston. So, like, maybe that's, like, that's the catalyst they would need. But, like, I'm really just here for, like, whatever series they could get that would make Kyrie say the sauciest things possible. That's what I'm rooting for.
The degree to which Celtics fans are, like, turning on Kyrie is almost making me wish he would stay, because that would almost be even funnier to see the heel turn that would happen, like, after the start of the year where it's like, Kyrie's amazing, he's going to stay, he loves us, he's going to be here forever, to the mid part of the season where, like, Simmons and the rest are like, just get him out of here, he's not a winner, they're better without him, and then for him to stay this offseason, and then they would be like, oh my god, he's back, he's Celtics through and through, take Bird's jersey down and replace it with Kyrie's. Like, that's going to happen if he stays, which would almost be kind of funny to me. So I'm like secretly rooting for that. I don't believe that they're back. I think there are still very real issues. I think Al Horford, yes, he looked very good against the Warriors and the Kings last night, but like, he feels very much like he's matchup dependent almost at this point, and is a little bit of a husk of himself. And yes, he's very good against Joel Embiid. I kind of believe in the Sixers' talent a little bit more than the Celtics right now if they were to play in a series, as weird as that sounds, considering the Celtics kind of own the Sixers. And I just, like, I don't think the Celtics have the juice to match up with Milwaukee or Toronto right now. I just don't. And, like, maybe that's me being a biased person who's like, yeah, the Raptors are, like, amazing. But I just kind of think the Celtics have a weird mix of dudes who don't like each other very much. And, like, Jason Tatum's not a particularly good playmaker. And I feel like he might shoot them out of a couple games as much as he'll shoot them into a couple games. And I don't know. I'm not buying it. They're very performative when they have these, like, turnarounds, when they play like garbage for 2 weeks, have like two big wins, and then everyone's like, they're back, baby. Like, this happened when they beat the Raptors like a month and a half ago, where everyone was like, oh man, the Celtics are in the tank, they've lost three in a row, they beat the Raptors at home, and everyone's like, oh boy, they're back, and then they go on a huge swoon again. Like, I'm very much over the, like, riding the roller coaster of the Celtics. I'm just going to stick with my opinion that they're, of the four teams that are, like, able to make it to the finals, the least likely to do so.
Can we talk about the Magic?
Yeah, they're weird and fun, and I want them to make the playoffs really bad.
Like, I do, too. Like, it's sort of weird because I would say the two players on that team that interest me the most are, like, not even playing.
Mm-hmm.
In Bamba and Fultz.
Yeah.
And, like, that those are sort of the guys that are the fascinating the most for, like, kind of obvious reasons in both cases. But, like, they're, like, good. Like, no Google's a good player. Vucevic is really good. Like, Aaron Gordon is, like good at what he's good at, even if there's other stuff he's not good at. And, like, Terrence Ross, your buddy, is just, like, coming off the bench and crushing it this year. And,
hell,
like,
yeah, he is.
I can't believe a team with, like, DJ Augustine as their, like, best point guard is, like, thriving, and, like, that's, like, very weird to me, but, like, I would like them to make the playoffs. I just would, like, feel good for that fan base. I would feel like, even if, like, they would get the crap picked out of them by whoever they play, like, I would at least, like a different team to sort of make it. I think Pistons Magic is, like, probably the two teams that, like, I would like to see sort of definitely get in out of that group, and I just, like, I'm here for the Magic just, like, kind of being, like, around, and, like, I'm here for, like, Steve Clifford, like, proving that he's a good coach. Like, this team's future is more interesting than its present because of Fultz and because of Bamba and whatever, but, like, I like that team, and I like Jonathan Isaac, too. Like, I saw him in person the other night. I came away kind of impressed by him.
Mm-hmm. I'm also just kind of here for, like, new blood at the bottom of the East. Like, if the bottom of the East playoff picture is going to be weak as hell, I'd at least like new teams in there that are actually, like, benefiting from the experience of being in the playoffs, as opposed to, like, Miami or Charlotte, where it's like, we've seen them there before, they're depressing, they're going to lose in five, we know exactly what they are. Like, I just get the Heat out of my face, man. I'm very over the Heat. I just don't need to see Josh Richardson average 18 a game for a series that they lose in five again. It's just, they're fine. They're, like, the most fine team in the league. They're the epitome of 500. And I would rather see the Magic in there, even if it means that, like, DJ Augustine is playing real playoff minutes. Like, that, I'm okay with that. If you get some Aaron Gordon getting some real time to, like, flex his muscles and show that he's good, and Jonathan Isaac and Nick Vucevic, I think, like, kind of deserves to be in the playoffs. And after Blake Griffin might be the next best guy in this whole group of teams. So, yeah, count me in for the Magic. Like, Pistons, Nets, Magic would be my ideal sort of, I guess, Nets 6, Pistons 7, Magic 8. Where you get the weird John Hammond bowl between the Bucks and Magic, and you get the Raptors-Pistons thing, and you get the Pacers-Nets, where the Nets could very much win that series, and then set up a fun Raptors-Nets-fuck-Brooklyn 2.0 series, which would be nice. That's kind of my dream scenario for the 6-7-8, I guess. So, naturally, the Heat are going to come in 8th, and it's going to suck.
Yeah, they feel like they're probably just gonna like get in because that's sort of what they do. I hope I like feel bad for Kemba, but like I don't really have a much of interest in watching Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been if they would have like done the, they would have like pulled off that Mark trade because like that would have been really interesting. But they obviously didn't do that because he's playing for the Raptors and like. I sort of like, I guess, like with these teams, I want to see like Sixers Celtics is obviously like a delicious first round matchup. Like, just mm-hmm. give me that. Please give me seven games of that. But like with the top three, I sort of just want to match them up with like in a way that will like at least tell me something.
Yeah.
And like see like if they can put them through the ringer. Like, the I think the Nets and the Pacers like would be sort of like that. I don't know who you think that is for Toronto. This is my question. Like, is there a team that obviously the Dwayne Casey thing would be really fascinating on a petty level, but like, is there a team that you think could actually like put the Toronto like through some paces to at least learn something about them? Is there a team at the bottom that you think actually could do that?
I mean,
or like, is there like a player on one of those teams that you would like to see Kawhi guard for seven games or something, or like play against Kyle? Like, would there be a benefit of like seeing like Kemba play against Kyle and see how Kyle does against a guy like Kemba who you know is going to show up?
Yeah, there's not necessarily a guy I'd like to see like Kyle or Kawhi guard per se. I think the Pistons would be the best test because of Blake, and the East is weird, right? And like the guys that are going to be like the linchpins for all these offenses outside of Kyrie are kind of like unorthodox and strange. And like you got Giannis, you've got Embiid and Simmons, like those are like weird dudes to guard, and you have to kind of do different things. Like the last week or so, the Raptors have done really well against like Damian Lillard and James Harden, and they've done a really good job of like, you know, trapping the pick and roll and sort of doing that standard playoff defense where you can kind of force the ball out of the shooter who also has a playmaker's hands and then have the rest of the guys do it. Like, you're not going to be able to do that really with the Bucks or the Sixers. And, like, those are the two teams that I'm kind of circling as, like, the biggest tests. And I'm expecting the Sixers to move up into the three seed. So I'm expecting that to be a second-round matchup for Toronto. So, like, a weird dude like Blake, who is not really in any sort of, like, stylistic column as a player, I think would be kind of fun for them to guard. And it was fun watching them try to guard him on Sunday, where they had, like, OG did a really good job against him. And Pascal, who kind of got punked by him earlier in the season, did pretty well against him, too. And, you know, you throw in, like, Reggie Jackson, who, you know, was kind of given Kyle Lowry some problems in the past, which, you know, that's not a great look for Kyle, because Reggie Jackson is butt. But, like, you know, that's a nice little test to kind of prepare for the Kyrie of it all as well, I suppose. Just, like, a very bad, poisonous version of Kyrie. I guess, who's more poisonous, Reggie Jackson or Kyrie Irving? That's a very good question.
I think Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like Kyrie has like way more, is like way better actually, and like Reggie Jackson is just like everywhere. It just seems
clearly better on the court, but just as like a human being.
Oh, I don't know. Something about Reggie Jackson that just seems like it would not be worth like I don't, I will never forget. Like Kyrie will say weird things, but like people seem to also like him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like respect him. Sort of like there's like the Kobe thing where Kobe would like destroy people. We're like Reggie Jackson is like not reading the room, and like is like that. I will never forget the image of him like trying to think he's being funny when Blake's doing that interview, or he's like kind of grumpy, and like Reggie just like does not read the situation correctly. It's like the most. It's so awkward, you know. Like there's, and it's like everything you read about him with the Thunder, it just doesn't seem like that worked well either. So
yeah, Reggie Jackson may be the least self-aware player in the NBA.
Well, Deion Waiters exists in terms of like profile at least, so. Or no, Marquise Chris. I think it's Marquise Chris.
Oh yeah, actually. How is the Marquise Chris experience
going?
It's
not going?
Good. To go to the Cavs talk, the hot Cavs talk everyone wants.
I'm going to clear out for 30 seconds on Marquise Chris, and we're going to never talk about the Cavs again on this podcast.
Okay.
He is legitimately probably the worst basketball player I've ever seen. doesn't know how to set a screen every game. Like I have one of my friends. We text each other, and I will be like, so. That's what friends do, but like I'll be like, he just had like an offensive foul and three travels in the first half, and like apparently last night, like I wasn't watching the game, I was at a concert, but like apparently he had like a foul, a charge, and something like that, and I'm gonna pull it up because I need to like to read you exactly what Austin Carr said about this. But he said, Austin Carr, quote, when he puts the ball on the floor, he has no idea what he's doing with it, in reference to Marquise Chris. Like, that's where we're at with Marquise Chris. I would rather see famous Canadian Nick Stauskas play, even though he's not good. And that's the end of my Cavs take.
Nick Stauskas, old friend on the team, better broadcaster than he is basketball player at this point, I think. Actually, basketball player might be, like, the third best profession he is good at, behind hot sauce dealing. And
is his hot sauce good?
I don't know. I never actually had it. I'm assuming it's fine. So I'm assuming it tastes like Frank's, probably. Let me... Does he actually... Yeah, I gotta find this. Like, I can't imagine it's, like, amazing. Like, it's not like an artisanal hot sauce you're getting from, like, a market or anything like that. But it can't be bad. Chris? Chris,
hello?
Are you there? Oh, hey, you're back.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, don't, yeah, there we go. We're back.
I just thought you were letting me talk about hot sauce by myself without interjecting at all,
I just disconnected, but I'm down. I love hot sauce. I'd never had the Nick Stauskas hot sauce.
It looks like Frank's sauce, I think.
Okay, so that's whatever.
Yeah. Which, yeah, like, Frank's is good. You have it. It's nice to have in a pinch, but you don't want it very much, which I guess is kind of similar to Nick Stauskas' shooting. Also, how's Degadel doing?
Doesn't play in a while. He's been in the G League for a while. I think they burned through his days.
Yeah.
He's in the highlight video, though, which is kind of impressive. Like, he made it into the pregame hype video.
He didn't even make it into the Raptors pregame hype video.
I know.
There's no way.
It's pretty incredible.
He might not have even made the 905's pregame hype video. The Cavs, man. Glad we talked about them so I could be reminded that life is not so bad when the Raptors lose.
Hey, you're gonna have to watch them on Monday. Like, I'm just saying.
Gonna have to watch them, yeah. I'm sure I'll be very, very intently focused on the defensive rotations in that game.
Look, I mean, when Kevin Love is on the floor, they actually do move the ball well.
Yeah.
And then, like, when he gets off and it's like Marquise Chris and Delly and Clark, it's just like, it's a potpourri of wildness. I don't know. Here's an actual good segue to this. Of the really bad teams in the East, are the Hawks the obvious answer to make the leap into, like, 8-seed contention next year? Because I feel like they are.
Barring the Knicks actually succeeding on the plan that they've made.
Yeah, if it's not the Knicks getting, like, two superstars and, like, just cutting the line, is it the Hawks?
I kind of think it sneakily might be the Bulls, as weird as they are and as, like, Boylan-y as they are. Like, I think Wendell Carter Jr. is very good. I like Zach LaVine as, like, a dude who can score buckets. Lauri Markkanen's been insanely good lately. Otto Porter, like, maybe overpaid, yes, but, like, a nice fit with those guys and can actually play defense. And, like, him and Wendell Carter Jr., that seems like it could be, like, a pretty nice, like, foundation of a good defense. I don't love Chris Dunn. I don't think he's particularly...
No, they need a real point guard.
Yeah, he's not particularly creative or anything like that. But if they get, like... I don't know. You know better than me the draft dudes. Like, who are the point guards? Ja Morant?
Ja Morant. Ja Morant would seem to just kind of fit that group, I guess.
Or if they got RJ just to play small forward or two guard. Or just make him point guard. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, I feel like Ja Morant would, like, make too much sense for them if they're in a position to pick him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Or, like, maybe they'll spend a bunch of money on somebody. I don't even know what the free agency point guard. Maybe they'll get, like, Ricky Rubio or something like that.
I mean, they could go Kemba.
Yeah, someone could pay him a lot of money, which seems like not, like, the best idea.
No, probably not the best idea, but... Or maybe they, like, trade for...
It's the Bulls.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't believe in their ability to, like, continue the momentum they've built with, like, their roster and them playing well lately, but I like some of the pieces there, at least, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and no, so I wouldn't be shocked. Leadership Council is what I'm hearing. Like, you don't trust, like, the Jim Boylan and Salt Leadership Council?
Hey, it's done a good job, even though I think the entire thing has been turned over the course of the season because of trades.
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah, Otto Porter's on it now. He was not on the team, like, 2 months ago.
And he was, like, hated by the entire Wizards team, so...
That's fun. Oh, the Wizards. I think that's the only team we didn't mention up until now, which says a lot about the Wizards.
Yeah, they're ass. We don't need to talk about the Wizards. Like, they probably still think they're going to make... They're 3 games out. They could still make it, I guess.
That would be wild.
That would be the worst possible outcome. I do not want to watch the Wizards in the playoffs anymore. I'm done. I'm just over it. Especially now that they have, like, Jabari Parker. Like, nah, dude. I'm all set on the Wizards making the playoffs.
Yeah, Jabari's going to be in China at this point next year. So, that's where the Wizards are at.
Do you think the Hawks, so are you, like, on the Hawks is, like, the most likely one to jump into the playoffs next year?
Yeah, I do. I think Trey's really good.
Yeah.
I've just accepted it in my head already that, like, they're going to win the lottery and get Zion, so I'm ready for it. I'm just give it to me. just give me like the Trey, Zion, John Collins, other lottery pick thing. It's either like I'm just convinced, like in my head, because I'm just a cynic. It's going to be the Lakers. It's one of these four teams are going to win the lottery. It's going to be the Hawks because they would just set them up unfairly. The Mavs because they would get Zion, KP, and Luka, and or the Lakers or the Knicks. It's one of those four teams. They're going to win the lottery.
Isn't the Dallas's pick is what, protected top seven or something?
Yeah, it's like top five protected.
Okay, so yeah, if they win it, that would be kind of crazy. God, I hope Washington doesn't win the lottery.
Or New Orleans. New Orleans would be the funniest one, actually.
I want them to win the lottery really badly. Then they can trade Zion for Anthony Davis. the best scenario is New Orleans wins it, and Anthony Davis is just like, maybe I'm good here.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you can trade Zion for LeBron. LeBron goes to the Pelicans.
Hell yeah. Honestly, my secret like hope for this offseason is that LeBron just retires. I love LeBron. I want to see him play all the time, and like I wouldn't be opposed to him coming back and playing for the Wizards in a couple years. But I just kind of like he doesn't need the money. Space Jam 2 will probably be better off for it if he just quit and just put all his time into that. And like I don't know, like if they strike out on Anthony Davis this summer or whatever star X. Like, I could see him in, like, mid-July being like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out, guys. Have fun. You wanted me to shut down? Guess what I'm doing? I'm shutting down. So. Oh, you know what's going to happen is Sacramento's going to miss the playoffs by one spot, and then they're going to win the lottery, and Boston's going to pick first overall.
Don't even wish that on me. I'm not ready for that.
God.
No, just please no.
I feel gross having just said that.
Sean, you've spoken that into the universe now, and if it happens, like it's 100% your fault.
Yeah, probably. Like, God, why did I do that? I'm sorry. We should probably wrap this.
Raptors title, would it be worth the Raptors winning the title this year if the Celtics like get Zion and then win three titles in the next 5 years?
Probably. I'd have to think about it, which is saying something. I'm honestly like. I know this is, like, a thing of a very good teams fan to say to a bad teams fan, but, like, I am kind of over the whole expectations thing. It's not fun, man. It's a bummer.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's not.
There's just no joy to be had in any games. Like, I've been trying to do this thing where I write about, like, the good things that happen in games, but, like, mm-hmm. It's hard, man. It's just, like, it's miserable all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah,
you know, I think the general theme of this whole discussion is like, let's just have fun with it, man. It's all good. It's basketball. It's fun. It's
be the magic. Fun. Actually, the Kings are probably the happiest fan base right now, even though last night's loss kind of maybe pooched their playoff hopes. But like, I really have been envious of Kings fans all year long, and even Nets fans to a degree. Just like, no expectations. It's fine. Like, if you win, you win. Like, even the Nuggets too. Like. If they lose in the first round, it'll get ugly quick, but I don't think they will, first of all. I think they're very good. And just, like, unexpected success is, like, kind of the, like, I would say that, and then, like, your team just won a title. Like, that's the ranking of happiness as a fan, I think.
I agree with that.
Because at least that, like, when you have a season of, like, unexpected excellence, or even just, like, competitiveness like the Kings have had, it, like... I don't know, it kind of, what's the word for it? Like, it's like a long-term thing, right? It lasts, like, the sensation lasts for a whole season, whereas, like, a title, like, yeah, it's like stress and ulcers until they end up winning, and then you kind of forget about it because the off-season happens. I don't know. I guess I've never been a fan of a team that's won a title. Maybe you could speak differently to this. Like, how long does, like, the high of, hey, our team just won the title, like, stay with you? Because I feel like it's probably a lot shorter than maybe it would seem to those fans of teams who have not won titles.
It's shorter, but I also think the Cavs are weird circumstance because LeBron was, it's just that whole process was just like very draining.
Right.
So there's like certainly like I think something different about that title, but I also think it is the thing people will cherish forever. Like LeBron, the internet of the game was like one of the more popular jerseys I saw, and I still see people all the time in the 2016 title tee. So like I do think like it is something that will last forever. Certainly the people that care about the Cavs more than the other teams in this city, but I also think like it's circumstantial too, because like if you're the Warriors, it's like if they win a title this year, it's just sort of like it's like the third cherry on top of the sundae. But if it's like the Raptors and it's like the quiet, it'll feel very, it'll feel validating. Like I think like a very different, or if like the Bucks like win it or something, like that'll feel like a very different thing for them too. Or as Boston will just, I don't even know. Like that'd be weird.
Yeah, I'm probably understating how like obnoxious and over the top gleeful I'll be if the Raptors do win a title. I'm probably underestimating that, but. I still.
You do until like you like you realize it's actually happening, and then it's like, oh, this is wild.
I still have found myself longing very much for the 2013-14 season a lot this year, because that year ruled and it didn't matter, and it was just like chill and nothing. There was no expectation or urgency or heaviness. It was just, hey, they're winning some games and they're not shitty. This is great. This I think we can probably wrap it there, Chris.
Yeah,
anything that you want to plug right now?
Yeah. Yeah, just check out Through the Sword, check out Locked On Cavs. I got a really cool feature up. I actually went to talk to people, real-life people, about why they went to Cavs games. You can read that if you're the Sword in the next day or so, hopefully.
Cool, man. You can subscribe, rate, review Locked On Raptors on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcasts. Same goes for Locked On Cavs and all of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. I have a piece that's up now about Serge Ibaka being the most likable Raptor, and it's not even really close for me, and it's kind of crazy considering he was like dead a year ago. But he's kind of had a renaissance this season, and it's delightful. So I wrote about that for the latest What Didn't Suck after the Rockets loss. And that's going to do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors or Locked On Cavs or Locked On Cavters, I guess is what we're calling this. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.